Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello, and welcome to another Andy Goldstein's TalkSport Daily podcast with me, your host, with the most hair. Andy Goldstein gets boring, that gag, I know. But I do. And listen, all the shops are shut now. The hairdressers, I can't have a barnet cut. It's just going to be massive. I'm going to like David Luiz, but worse. Anyway, moving on. Happy Monday to you all. Here's a big podcast coming away of the best bits from TalkSport over the last 24 hours. And it begins with Katie Price's ex-husband, Simon Jordan. He was talking to Danny Kelly. They were on a show we've called The Final Word.
And I did an analysis, and it looked to me like the average League Two club was going to lose about £300,000 to £350,000. Not lose, potentially out of their cash flow in the short term if these fixtures are pushed back until they're eventually be able to play. In League One, it looked like £500,000, and in the Championship, £1.2 million. And in the Premier League, £1.2 million, that is. And in the Premier League, it looked like most clubs were going to suffer to the tune of £5 or £6 million. Now, I put the Premier League to one side, Danny, not because I don't think they should be considered, but I think the real need is in the Football League, as it has been for some time. And I think it's now time that ultimately, given the fact that we're not going to see football in this country for an absolute minimum, I suspect, of 8 weeks. And you're looking at that being all of March, predominantly all of April and all of May, and with wage bills that go with it, that football now and the Football League have to lead. Gary Neville was talking the other day on Sky about people taking leadership decisions and being very critical of the Premier League. Well, the decision that has to be taken is that Football League clubs have to vote through a regulation which enables them to reduce the salaries of the playing side of the operation by 25% immediately. Immediately.
Right, that's a huge statement to make at a time when in other parts of society, people are being paid not to go to work. You're saying that these people...
Danny, the average salary in the Championship is £12,000 a week. The average salary in League One is £3,000 a week, and the average salary in League Two is £1,500 a week. The median wage that the government is supporting is £2,500 a week. This is not like for like.
The idea that
people will advance, that football can be a short career, you know, most things can be a short career, Danny. No job is guaranteed forever. And in the world of football, it can often afford to be a short career. If we're talking about what we've lost over the annuals of time, in the age of paying agents £300 million out of football per year without any contribution, in the age of paying a union £27 million when it gets nothing from its members, we've lost the reality of what really needs to be maintained, which is the well-being of sporting institutions and football clubs, because if they don't survive, these players will have nowhere to play.
And from Simon and Danny, we can go over to Stuart Pearce. There's no link there other than just naming people's names. Stuart Pearce, Simon. It's tedious, I know, but I don't get paid a lot to come up with these. Anyway, Stuart Pearce was talking about fantasy football on Saturday Session.
I done fantasy football when my son Harley was 8 years old at the time.
Okay.
And they done it at the school with all the kids and all the teachers. And we worked our way up the league to that final week where it was my son Harley and the headmaster were neck and neck. There was one point
at the top of the table.
At the top of the table.
Wow.
I think we're 1 point behind. I picked the phone up to Alex Ferguson. I was the under-21 manager at the time.
When was this? In the midweek?
On the Wednesday before this game on the Saturday.
Okay.
Before the big decider or the Sunday, whichever day it was.
Yeah.
And I asked him the question under the guise of the England under 21 manager, who are you going to be playing, Jones or Smalling in the back? Because I'm thinking of coming to the game to watch them. He told me which one he was going to play. I transferred a player. That player went into our fantasy team.
No.
And we won.
Whoa, hold on. That's insider trading, isn't it?
Yeah. Perry, I hang my head in shame now.
Right.
But we won. We won by a point because we got a clean sheet. Smalling or Jones. Can't remember who played, but one of them played.
You know when you said to me, you know, like normally when their dads go and watch their sons play football, right, and it's competitive dad on the touchline, right? That is actually transformed itself to fantasy football.
That's what it is
now. So Piercy put his 8-year-old son. And you got. I'm just embarrassed. You can't let your headmaster be.
You made a call to. If Sir Alex knew that, you know, he would blacklist you.
And I wouldn't blame him, to be quite honest with you. But all I can say in my defence is champion is champion.
Time now to talk a bit of boxing with the host of Fight Night. That's Adam Cattrall. Alongside him was that ginger fella. I think he's bald now. From EastEnders, Jake Wood. Spencer Olivo used to box. He's a hard nut, he was. He was in the studio as well. They were joined by Dillian White, looking ahead to his fight against Alexander Povetkin, which, of course, isn't going to happen because no sport is ever going to happen in the foreseeable future. It will, listen, but not for... This fight won't happen, basically.
Your fight is still on. It's not been called off. May the 2nd against Povetkin. What's the preparation like for that? Because everybody around you, all the fights around you are being called off and being removed and what have you. Yours hasn't as of yet. So what's the preparation
like? Preparation is what is. As Prince of Tilly as a pro, you just got to be professional and prepared to the best of your ability, the best way you can, really, and just get on with it, man. You know, obviously, there's a lot of things going on in the world at the minute. You know, a lot more important things than boxing at the minute is going on in the world. So I'm just trying to stay focused, trying to prepare. You know, I've got a job to do and I've just got to be professional about it and just keep training. Like, you know, like the fight is still happening and it's still meant to happen. So I'm just training for May 2nd, really. You know, as a pro, you're just as training accordingly. If something goes wrong or if you get injured or whatever. So I just been getting on with it, man. Being a proper professional and just keep going, you know.
I don't know if the boys know this story. I'd like to share it on air. I remember you working with us. I think it was on the night that Povetkin knocked out David Price. And you were commentating with us. You were ringside. Check this out, lads, right? So he's working with me. He's there. He's the core commentator on the show, right? We're in the middle of the fight. The knockout happens. Dillian clears off. He just stands up, clears off. I'm looking around thinking, where's he gone? He's in Povetkin's corner calling him out. He's over there trying to start a fight straight away.
I remember that.
Me and you, let's get it on. Do you remember that, Dil?
No, you know what it is. Listen, David Price, he's one of those fighters and countrymen that you have a lot of sympathy for. You know, not that I feel sorry for him. He's just one of those guys you want to see him do well. And he was one of the first guys that started to spar with him, got into boxing. He used to fight in his undercard, was under the same stable. And he was flying at one stage. And he's one of those guys. You just want to see him do well, you know what I mean? You know, and he's always been so close. And he's a good guy. David Price is a good guy. No one's ever got anything bad to say about him.
Absolutely.
You know, when you see him get knocked out like that, I felt a bit bad because I know his family. I know his wife and I know his dad and stuff. So I felt a bit bad. And I was just thinking to myself, you know, I'd love to get hold of this guy and give it to him, get one back to my countryman. Man.
Funny. Well, you're getting the opportunity. You've got the opportunity now to get one back.
Yeah. You know, definitely.
Dillian.
Yeah, but no, it's personal now because it's me and him now. It wasn't personal before.
Now, if you're sitting there thinking, yeah, I like the podcast, it's going really well, but what I really want to hear is Tony Cascarino's top three defenders I've ever played against. Well, I mean, you need your head looked at because it... Oh, is it? Oh, that's a result.
I played against Stevie Bruce, against Man United a few times. And Brucey and Pallister were a great partnership for United. And normally I played up against Pallister. But on the odd occasion, I found myself up against Brucey. And Brucey was
different class, Georgie.
Was he?
He was. And he could play football as well, Bruce.
Sorry, I shouldn't have... I sounded really surprised that he was good at football. But, I mean, I'm surprised when you put him and Pallister next to each other that you would have chosen him.
Well, Brucey could get goals as well for a centre-half. You know, he was a handful when you had to defend against him because his timing of his running... I always remember a goal I scored for Gillingham and I was in the same team as Brucey for Gillingham against Millwall, and I scored with a diving header and Sam Allardyce was marking me. And Brucey's literally told me the run, what he wanted me to do, and I scored from it and we won 1-0. And Brucey knew how to get goals. Brucey could have been the centre forward. He really could have. But as a centre-half, reading the game, timing wasn't the quickest. Like Teddy Sheringham wasn't the quickest as a forward, but incredibly intelligent around the game. Brucey was that as a centre-half. So he's number three. Number two is quite an obvious one, is the incredible Paul McGrath.
Okay.
Played against Paul. Probably he was drunk a couple of times when he played as well. And not a good thing. I roomed with Paul McGrath. I witnessed him do very little training. Ugh, Georgie, his training sessions were laughable. He would literally go to the gym, and if I said to you light training, that's pushing it, because that's what it was. He was one day with Jim Walker on the bike. You know, you do your bike and you're pushing away, and I'm watching him train. I'm thinking, how is he that good? And this is his training sessions. How is he so good at the weekend?
Got a magazine and
yeah,
a
but
cup
he's
of coffee.
Literally pedaling away, and then Jim Walker says to him, right, Paul, come on the incline. Come on, Paul, push harder, push. And Paul's just literally going a little bit harder. All of a sudden, he gets off the side of a bike and stands next to it. And Jim went, what are you doing, Paul? And he went, I always push my bike uphill, Jim. But I laughed because that was Paul. I roomed with him. He didn't do anything right. I'm talking the food he ate, what he drank, his training regime. And he'd go out, and Sheffield United fans will tell you this about Paul McGrath, he'd be the best player every Saturday. He'd be the man of the match 9 times out of 10. That was McGrath. And I played against him, so I know how tough it was. So Big Paul had to be number two.
Can I just say, when people are natural athletes like that, I really hate them.
Do you know, the one thing he didn't do, Georgie, Paul would eat children-sized portions of food. So he never had a problem with putting on weight, because Paul only picked... He never ate full meals. I never see him finish a meal ever, Paul. As a mind you, half of him, he never turned up. He'd just stay in his room. Still wonder how good he could have been a bit of, obviously, the things that sent him the wrong way in football with regards to drinking. Paul would have probably been number one. But my number one is Maldini. I played against him for Italy and just had everything. And he cruised. And even more annoying, he was really good looking. You know, you look at a friend, you're too good looking to be a centre-half, man. You know, you've got no teeth missing, you've got no scars. He's got this perfect black, jet black hair, but so gifted. Quick, like you wouldn't believe.
And played forever, didn't he?
Into his 40s. And Maldini was just an extraordinary footballer. I don't have to explain how good he was to people. If you'd watched Paolo Maldini, you'd know how good he was. And an exceptional player for Milan. Over a number of years, won everything in the game.
Alan Brazil here. You're listening to TalkSport Daily.
Time now to hear a bit of game day with Danny Kelly and the 2008 World BDO Darts Champion, Mark Webster. Yeah, strange old link up that, but listen, I don't put them together. Anyway, they were talking about the final day of the season at the Etihad in 2012. Brilliant. Love this moment when Man City won the league and stole it from Manchester United. And of course, QPR narrowly avoided relegation. I'm so happy for them.
I will take you back to the year of 2011-2012 season, and in particular the 54th minute of the game. The score was 1-1, and a certain Joey Barton decided to, well, absolutely erupt. Our captain, Joey Barton,
forgot that bit, yeah.
Yep. So we had the captain of QPR, Joey Barton, in the 54th minute, decided to elbow Tevez. As Tevez was making his move into the 18-yard box, he just slightly brushed the top of his nose with the elbow, and Tevez obviously hit the ground. Who was the referee that day, by the way?
Go on.
Mr. Mike Dean.
I was going to say, it must be Dean, mustn't it? Yep.
Yeah. Cometh the hour, so cometh the correct
man. The man himself decided to go and have a little chat with the linesman, who had obviously seen this incident in the 54th minute.
Now, hang on. So Mike Dean goes to the touchline to consult.
Yes.
The very thing he's stopping referees doing now, yeah?
Yep, yeah, absolutely. And at that moment in time, there was a cluster of about 18 men all in each other's faces trying to settle the situation. But no, Joey erupted in the 54th minute, elbowing Tevez. Not only did he get sent off, but on his way off the pitch, he decided to knee kick Aguero into the behind.
Oh.
Headbutt Vincent Kompany.
No.
Attempt to grapple with Balotelli. And then the calmness of Micah Richards, who was the substitute at the time, decided to run onto the pitch, grab hold of Joey.
Yeah.
And I think there was a long-lasting friendship between Micah and Joey. And I only just recently watched the clip, and they were talking like long-lost friends.
Really?
Nothing had happened. So,
wow.
Who normally takes...
You're laughing about...
I'm laughing about it now, but who normally takes the red-carded gentleman off the pitch out of all the coaching staff? Well, it's normally the goalkeeping coach.
Oh, is it?
So the goalkeeper coach, who at this point was Kevin Hitchcock, decided to put his arm around Joey. But Kevin, don't do that. Kevin,
no.
Do not do that when this man is in the rage.
He's a bit sensitive at the moment.
So
yeah.
Kevin Hitchcock nearly got flung to the floor as well. And the whole thing just erupted. And it's just
like that scene in Fawlty Towers where Mr. O'Reilly, the builder, tries to be nice to Mrs. Fawlty, and John Cleese goes, "Oh no, don't do that."
Yeah.
That was Kevin Hitchcock, wasn't it? Bless him.
But not many people, Danny, know why Joey Barton.
Yeah,
let me tell you the story.
What was his trigger?
So the trigger was obviously he got red carded and he knew he was off.
Sure,
but Bobby Zamora went over to Joey Barton and said, "Take one down with you."
Oh, brilliant.
Right?
Really?
So that is what happened. So the reason Joey erupted in the manner of which he did is he tried to get one of the Manchester City players sent off.
So trying to draw someone else into
to make it 10v10.
I like it, though.
Oh, that's amazing.
I like Zamora.
Brilliant, by Zamora.
Bobby Zamora is like Napoleon with his tactical thinking here. That's amazing.
Now, it's Tottenham Hotspur against Liverpool.
There's no football on!
I haven't finished yet. In the latest edition of the Glory Hunters podcast. And for Spurs supporter Mark Dolan, it's pretty clear who the bigger club are.
The way you judge a club is the number of ex-players who have made it into broadcasting. I mean, there's like the Champions League and there's titles and cups, all the rest of it. But let's look at telly and who is the Don of television broadcasting when it comes to ex-footballers. Liverpool have Jamie Carragher and Graeme Souness, not too bad. Spurs have Gary Lineker, the Don, the boss, Jermaine Jenas, and most importantly, of this parish, TalkSport's Jason Cundy, who I know people think of as an ex-Chelsea player, but really he's a Spurs legend, and I happen to know, on good authority, it's his favourite club. He just has a funny way of showing it. Also, most importantly, Al Monica. You'll Never Walk Alone is decent, but we have Audere Est Facere. And because it's Latin, no one knows what it actually means, but it's probably amazing. Not sure. I've done a little Google test, and I think it means get Brexit done, but I can't be sure.
And last, but by no means least, it's back to Stuart Pearce once more and what it's like to be playing under the great Brian Clough. I'll tell you what it's like, young man. Sounds nothing like him. No one can do a Clough impression. No one.
Never ever underestimate how clever he was. I've seen him avoid conflict on occasion and sidestep it, made out he hasn't seen it. But he was always very, very cute. You know, he would take conflict on when you thought, why have you done that? He would always try and level you. You know, if you thought you were above your station, the first thing he would do, like they say about Trevor Francis, signed him for £1 million and made him the tea boy when he arrived. You know what I mean? So he would do that to say, look, keep grounded, son. He sent a message out to a lot of the players if they thought you were above your station. But if things weren't going well for you, he'd be a fantastic ally to have in your camp as well.
Well, that's it for another podcasty thing, everyone. Good work. Well done. Pat yourself on the back. Yes, well done. You get no money. It's not a competition. I mean, you get this for free. What more do you want? A quick reminder. I know you don't need... I don't even know why they bothered writing this on the screen for me. Or you can get it from Acast, Spotify and Apple Podcast. Who cares? You've got it. You know. So pay no attention to me telling you about Acast, Spotify and Apple Podcast. I should be back. I say should because I've not been well recently. I don't know if I had it. I had... what were my symptoms? Temperature, cough. Oh, yeah, and a headache, which, of course, all point in one direction. So, not the group, although listening to some of the music, you could argue, does give you a bit of a headache. But anyway, I'm hoping to be in the studio tonight alongside Cundy. Well, I won't be in the studio because I've got to be at home now. Anyway, I hopefully will be alongside Jay in some kind of form tonight from 10 p.m. on the Sports Bar. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. And remember, be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.